McNabb stepping in for the Knights. He scores! Walked right out in front, and Braden McNabb, you read his lips, he just said wow himself. Eakin on the right sidewall, coming up to the slot. Lots of room, Eakin shoots and scores! Second goal of the game for Cody Eakin. Right circle, Schmidt threw it across the net mouth. In front, stop, another try, score! Tatar! Reeves in the right side to the right circle, centering feed, a shot, they score! Belmar fires from between the circles. Marchessault peels off on the right wing near side. To the slot, he shoots, he scores! Marchessault! 4-3 Knights! Vegas wins in overtime!
And welcome in. That's right, it's Friday, but it's a special edition of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Ari Platinum, nice enough to come in here and run our board as Chris Chapman's on vacation. Clayton Hamilton's at the gym trying to get in shape for next season. So, we're all out there doing our thing, but having a good time. And Ryan,
yes,
big news today. Finally, a gentleman that everybody can agree we need around for at least another four more years. Marc-Andre Fleury signs a three-year extension. He will be in a VJK sweater for at least the next four seasons.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where you take a look at what you got in the expansion draft and what you wanted to build your franchise around, and make no mistake about it, it was Marc-Andre Fleury, and this is an opportunity to lock him in for the next 4 years. And if what he did this season is any indication of what he can do and the heights to which his game can go, it's a good signing for the Golden Knights, because you've got the guy that can shoulder a lot of the load, can meet with the media, can kind of handle those things from a leadership perspective. But you've also got the guy that's going to be mentoring the next goalie, the one that's going to supplant him in 4, maybe 5 years' time, because we don't know really if Marc-Andre Fleury is going to play past that 4 years.
Yeah, although he very well might, because there have been 19 goalies in NHL history that have played past the age of 40. So
right.
No guarantee that this is his final contract. All I know is as long as he's playing, I hope he's in a Vegas Golden Knights jersey. And joining us now, the man that brought you all those exciting saves last season, our good friend that we got to meet up with. One of the best things about the Vegas Golden Knights coming here, not only do we get NHL hockey, but all the quality people that we've met, and our good friend Dan Duva joining us now. Dan, how you doing, my friend? It was good seeing you again today over at City National.
Yeah, we're getting back into the swing of things, aren't we? Good to see you guys. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it was great seeing you there, and I know that you were kind of monitoring the Facebook page and some of the questions. We're actually going to play that the Fleury press conference for the people here during the show today as well. But let's jump right into it. Marc-Andre Fleury signs the three-year extension, $21 million, $7 million per. I think he's well worth it. I know that there's a little sour taste in his mouth because they almost got the cup again. They don't feel that the job has been finished, and what a great face of the franchise. What a great ambassador, and let's face it, a Hall of Fame goaltender for sure when his days are numbered, but he's got a lot of winning and hopefully another cup or two in him as well.
Yeah, well, certainly the Golden Knights fans are hoping and expecting that. I chatted with Mark a little bit after the press conference, and the Golden Knights are going to put out that interview later this afternoon, so you can keep an eye out for that. One of the things I asked him has to do with his age at this point. You know, he's 33 years old. The contract will be up when he's 37 at the end of the 2022 season. It's funny to even think about the year 2022. And I asked him what he would think if he could talk to the 18-year-old kid that signed his very first pro contract in 2003 when he was the first overall pick. As you know, $7 million per year on the current deal. That entry-level contract moved the decimal over a spot, $727,000 per season for his very first entry-level contract from 2003 through 2006, and then signed another deal when he was 21. That was just a couple of years. Signed that big deal when he was 23 years old in 2008. That was a seven-year contract, $5 million per. And then most recently, before the current deal, he was 30 years old when he signed the four-year contract with the Penguins in 2015. And he's got one more year left on that contract, which is $5.75 million per year. So now he signs this extension that begins next year, and he'll be paid more than any other guy on the roster at $7 million per season. And who knows how the roster unfolds over the next few years. But, you know, it's the leadership. It's the security blanket, so to speak, of having a Hall of Fame caliber goalie between the pipes, and also at the same time mentoring some of the younger guys that are coming up, because who knows how much playing time another goalie might get, whether it's Malcolm Subban or Oscar Dansk or even Max Legacy, and down the line, whether it's this coming season or down the line. But it makes a lot of sense to make the face of the franchise not only the face for year one and year two, but for the first 5 years of the franchise, which would take us right through 2022.
You know, Dan, one of the things that George McPhee has said when it comes to Marc-Andre Fleury is that Dave Pryor saw something and thought that he could be better. Dave Pryor, the style that he prefers his goalies play, is that something that you can see kind of playing into Marc-Andre Fleury and the longevity that he should have over the next 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years if we're looking a little bit ahead of ourselves?
Yeah, the interesting thing about David Pryor, and having talked to him quite a bit over the course of the season, and once you get David going, he just keeps on going. He doesn't, speak loudly or very often, but when you do get him going, he likes to talk, especially about this craft of goaltending. And the feeling that you get is David doesn't have his own brand of teaching goalies a particular style. He simply goes after a goaltender and can take what that goalie brings and enhance it. And when you talk about what he saw in Marc-Andre Fleury, you're absolutely right. He's got that creativity and the athleticism, and we like to call it the acrobatics. But he still, especially because of his age, has the experience and the wisdom and the intelligence to apply a more technical approach at times. So it's sort of melding the best of both. And I think Dave Pryor has helped Marc-Andre understand that being more technically sound at different moments does not need to take away from the athleticism and the creativity that has been his trademark for so long. And I think that's the great part about Dave Pryor. He doesn't make you into something you're not. He's not going to put his fingerprints all over you. He simply wants you to be the best version of you that you can be. You know, something similar with the other goalies in Subban and Dansk. I mean, Oscar Dansk and Malcolm Subban are very different goalies, but that doesn't mean that they're going to get any less from Dave Pryor simply because they play different styles. And I think that's been a benefit for the entire organization. That's why Dave Pryor is one of the true gurus in the sport, why George McPhee brought him here. And he was almost surprised that no one else had been trying to hire him after he had parted ways with the Washington Capitals. So I think that what you bring up there, Brian, is a really good point in terms of what Dave has done to make Marc-Andre Fleury even better by taking the best of all of his attributes.
Vegas Golden Knights voice Dan Duva there talking about Marc-Andre Fleury and the signing today. Dan, one of the things that I think impressed a lot of people, and I think it impressed Marc-Andre Fleury and almost pretty much every player on the team, the guys that came here in the announced team like yourself, Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty, and all those guys as well, I don't think it can be undersold here how important the community and everything was in this decision as well. A lot of people had a lot of questions about hockey coming to Vegas, about what the living style was going to be in that. What part do you think that put into it? Because these guys came out here and almost to a man, they said they knew, you know, the strip and what they saw on TV and real world and other things. But once they got out here and saw Summerlin and the community and Henderson and all the different things around to do, I think that the fact that it is Vegas and not someplace else also did play a huge part in this signing. Do you agree?
I agree. And I think for all the players that I can remember talking to about this, you consider how many are coming from parts all over the world, not just the United States or North America. But when you think about Las Vegas as a destination, it has been that for you want to call them transplants, people who have moved here within the last couple of years, 10 years. And Frank, I know you came here to town longer ago than that. But when you think of the guys who are coming here, they embrace that idea, that concept of a new beginning and starting something from the ground up. And that as an attraction, it's part of, I think, a personality, a lot, and that's shared by a lot of this community, people who have come here looking for an exciting new opportunity that matches the player's mentality. And Mark talked about it today. This organization has extended his career, given him a new opportunity. And why not embrace that? There's the weather and how beautiful this area is, no doubt about it. And players also recognize the opportunity to be here during hockey season, but also in the off-season months, an opportunity to go back to their roots. You know, I just chatted with Colin Miller the other day after he signed his contract extension, and he's back in Sault Ste. Marie, and he's got his house on the lake. I chatted with Alex Tuck just last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, and he's back in upstate New York. The guy's spent some time here in Las Vegas, and Marc-Andre has been in town for the most part. He's had a couple of vacations, but now he's heading back home to Quebec, and we'll try to get ready for hockey season. But it's an interesting thing where players make their hockey home in the city they're playing. Family, kids go to school. It's kind of the home base. But by the nature of the schedule, they're afforded the luxury of spending time with their roots back home in Quebec, in Marc-Andre's case. And I think that when you can spend some time in Quebec during the summer months, but you can be in Las Vegas for, you know, call it 6 months for a regular season, a couple more months for the Stanley Cup playoffs, as it turned out to be this year. No doubt about it. I think it's pardon the pun, but it's kind of a jackpot situation.
That's a good one. I like that, Dan. So looking at this contract, what does it do for maybe a guy like Oscar Dansk or Malcolm Subban, who are kind of trying to figure out what their role is on this team, if they're going to be the backup, if they eventually have a chance to start? Both guys are 24. Malcolm has one more deal, and then he's a restricted free agent. Oscar's got two. Where do you see this contract kind of weeding out maybe who might be around longer term?
Yeah, and I think that we all, for the most part, expected that Mark was going to get an extension, whether it was signed this summer or perhaps during the season, and next year, I think, figured this would eventually happen, and Mark did want to get this happen before he left town, before he was going back home to train. And with that in mind, was that Oscar Dansk contract that you mentioned, and for Subban is also a part of this. And it's hard to know exactly what is in the future for those guys that have made an impact with the Golden Knights already. And again, you don't want to leave Max Legacy out of the conversation, but I think that he's at number four on the depth chart here. But I don't think that George McPhee and the organization has to make a decision on that yet. I think that you're going to see plenty of Malcolm Subban in goal this year. And should he continue to impress, then that will go right along with the organization's plans. But it also wouldn't surprise me if Oscar Dansk gets an opportunity, whether it's consistent time in the American League, and even an opportunity here with the Golden Knights. You've seen it with some other organizations, and with Tampa Bay, for instance, Andre Vasilevsky, and how a couple years ago, Ben Bishop was still the number one goalie with the Lightning. Vasilevsky was the backup, but they needed to get Vasilevsky some playing time. So they shuttled him down to the American League on conditioning assignments just to get him some hockey, some play to keep him fresh and to ensure that he was the kind of goaltender you expected that he would become. Obviously, that has worked out well. Ben Bishop was traded to the Kings and then ultimately lands in Dallas. But Vasilevsky stepped into that starring role. I don't know to what extent the Golden Knights need to do that right now. They probably don't need to do that for a couple years. So if that allows Oscar Dansk to get significant playing time in Chicago in the American League, does Malcolm Subban spend any significant time in the American League? Or do they keep him in Vegas and he plays a little bit more often than he did down the stretch this year? Remember, Fleury had missed 2 months of the season because of that concussion. And when you're out for 2 months, the only positive of that is when you come back, you're a bit more fresh in terms of your whole body and your legs and all that. God willing, Fleury will not miss 2 months this year. And so there might be a sense of spreading out how often he starts. I don't know if there is a plan in place for that. It was very often game to game for Dave Pryor and Gerard Gallant. As we know, Gerard often defers to Dave in those situations. At least that's what he tells us. So I don't know how often, there's going to be that, the opportunity for Subban to be, in a starting position. I'm sure he will get some starts, especially in those back-to-back situations. But if he's getting more and more time, that part of that would be an increase in trust, but also sort of a showcase to see if perhaps he would be a candidate for the number one gig whenever Fleury ultimately hangs him up.
And you mentioned Marc-Andre Fleury missing time last year, and obviously he comes back, plays really well, not the workload that we're used to really seeing him play throughout a season. Do you think that maybe that's something going into this offseason and into next season, Marc-Andre Fleury is going to look at maybe playing a little bit less just to keep himself a little bit more fresh?
Yeah, you would have to think, especially the way the game is played now, very few goalies are playing every game. That used to be somewhat commonplace. And even, you know, for Martin Brodeur, you think of a guy who's, right up there with all the records, whose career, spilled into his 40s, but also at a time when the game was changing. And so the Devils had acquired Corey Schneider, and there was more time for Schneider to start, and Brodeur's game started, ended up being, fewer than Schneider by the time his last season with the Devils was played. But earlier in his career, I mean, Brodeur's playing pretty much every game. I mean, there's 82 games in a season, and he's playing in the 70s. I don't see that happening for many goalies at this stage of the game's evolution, and in particularly with Marc-Andre. The good news is Marc-Andre keeps himself in impeccable shape. I mentioned his age. Signed this contract extension today. He's 33 years old. By the time the 2022 season ends, he'll be 37 years old. But I mean, you guys saw him this morning. I mean, he's in prime physical shape. I mean, he looks so much younger. Let's put it this way: Marc-Andre and I are the same age. If I looked as good as he does at age 33, I would probably not just be on the radio. I might be doing some other things. but you get the idea of how much he has taken care of himself. He's got genetics that have been a gift from God for him, but he also has the diligence and the work ethic to keep himself in tremendous shape. And I think that that can't be understated, so that he has made this such a focus to be in peak physical condition. We hear other athletes, whether it's Tom Brady and the regimen that he goes through. And Mark is someone that takes the care of his body very seriously. So when you think about, okay, he's going to be 37 years old when this contract ends, if I had to guess today, in July of 2018, if Fleury plays beyond 2022, I'd have to say yes. And I think it's a pretty confident yes. Plenty of time, of course, for that to happen. But the point is, he's kept himself in such wonderful shape that his age at this juncture seems more like just a number than any sort of true measurement for how long he can play.
Dan Duva, the fine play-by-play voice of the Vegas Golden Knights here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Okay, Dan, so they've got Marc-Andre Fleury for the next 4 years. They've got a slew of quality defensemen in front of them as well, signed up, a lot of other players. What's George McPhee's biggest influence in what he's focusing on now? Is it the signing of William Karlsson? Because I don't even want to mention the other Karlsson that reportedly is playing for all 31 teams next season.
I think that is probably on the top of his agenda right now. I don't think that there's too much of a concern there. The likelihood that a contract doesn't come to fruition is quite low. I mean, it's certainly not signed, sealed, and delivered, or else we would have heard about it by now. But arbitration will the sort of deadline that you look at. Can they reach an agreement before an arbitration hearing? Yeah, you want to avoid that. You think that the Golden Knights would want to lock up Karlsson for an extended period, more than just a year or two. If arbitration comes to fruition, that's how it would shake out. I think both sides would like to get something taken care of. And, for the Golden Knights, it's sort of one at a time. You kind of check the easy ones off if you can, with some of the other players we mentioned, Dansk and Colin Miller. And now here's the latest one for Marc-Andre Fleury. Though there was no deadline for the Fleury contract, obviously. It was one that both sides found what they needed, but now the last one for William Karlsson. Naturally, the jump in terms of contract size will be quite significant for him, given what he had accomplished prior to this year, and that might make it a little bit more dicey in ironing out some terms. The Golden Knights are in a position with cap space, especially for next year. I mean, the contract that Fleury signed is is front heavy. So the 19-20 season, the first year of that extension, is $8.5 million. It's being reported, rather than the average value, which is $7 million. In other words, there's less money towards the end. And that's not been officially announced by the team, but that's what's been reported. The point is that there's room there for the Golden Knights to give William Karlsson the contract that I think he deserves, and the Golden Knights will make sure their T's are crossed and their I's are dotted before that they do find an agreement there. But I would be surprised if it goes too much longer with William. And yeah, I mean, Tomáš Nosek is another one. That's the other one who's arbitration bound, unless the team can come to it. But let's put it this way: with the Golden Knights, you know, the list of things they needed to accomplish, they're pretty much on track. If something else pops up, it wouldn't shock me. You know, if there were a trade or an acquisition, you know, I mean, of course, the other Karlsson, Erik Karlsson, has been talked about quite a bit. You know, are the Golden Knights going to do something with another defenseman? I don't know. But I think that the obvious items on the list are William Karlsson and Tomáš Nosek, and I would have to imagine that those things are not too far off.
All right. Well, Dan, we appreciate the time and real good article on Colin Miller. I enjoyed reading that as well. And hopefully we see you soon here before the season starts. And I guess it's around 8 weeks or so, but maybe we'll run into you at one of the rec centers or something like that. And until we do, keep on enjoying the summer, my friend.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. Good to chat with you again. And we'll be talking hockey in person again real soon.
All right, sounds good. Dan Duva there, the fine play-by-play voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. When we come back, Ryan and I, along with Dan and some other people from the media, had a chance to sit in on the press conference with Marc-Andre Fleury. You're going to get a chance to hear it next as we'll play it in its entirety for you people out there. Compliments of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Stick around, lots more to get to.
Hey, Knights fans, while we're here, I got some news this morning. I guess you guys will be stuck with me for a little longer. I just signed a 3-year extension. I'm really excited about it. My family and I really love Vegas, the organization, my teammates, and I feel very blessed to have this opportunity to keep playing in front of you guys for a few more years. So thanks for the support. Thank you. Thanks to my team for trusting me. And we'll see you guys in September.
And there you heard it. That was Marc-Andre Fleury earlier today on Twitter and social media announcing that he had signed that 3-year extension. Four more years. Ryan, we have Marc-Andre Fleury for 4 more years. I also like how he even introduces himself and says, "Hi, guys, this is Flower." He's totally comfortable with the nickname. Not necessarily totally comfortable with being the face of the franchise.
You know, it's funny you said that because that's exactly what I was going to say as a rebuttal. Is there are some things he's comfortable with. Being the face of this franchise, as we will find out soon, is not one of them.
Yeah, so, but we will hear from that. And you will hear it now as well. Here is compliments of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Ryan and I were over at City National earlier today, and we had a chance to hear from Marc-Andre Fleury. Here's that press conference in its entirety. Enjoy.
Just your thoughts on the summer and getting this done now. You know, we've seen around the league, obviously, kind of what can happen with unrestricted free agents as it goes on. How important was it for you to get this done and not have it be a distraction kind of during the season?
Yeah, it is. You know, I think I've been fortunate in my career to not have to wait till July 1, you know, but I think it's always something I wanted and I like to do. So when the season starts, you're not thinking about the rumors, you know, where you can be traded to. And I've been through that already. And just to have that security to be here for a long time was big for me.
Chris Matthews, KLSTV, here in Las Vegas. Mark, earlier in the season you mentioned how much you enjoyed Las Vegas, and toward the end you said that you hope you finish your career here in Las Vegas, and now it looks like you will. What is it about this city that you really become attached to your wife, your kids, that you say, this is the place that I want to finish my career?
A little bit of everything. You know, I think first and foremost is the fact that this organization gave me a chance to play, you know, and to play a lot of games, and they believed in me, you know, and I love to do what I do, right? And this was big. And
You've got mail.
Somebody's got mail.
Yeah, that's me. Sorry.
That's it. I need to read it for you. But then the fact, the success that we've had, you know, over the season, winning is always makes everything better, right? And And then the fans, how much they supported us right from day one, and they were crazy all season long, you know, and the playoffs were a lot of fun to play, and you could really feel the intensity in the building, you know, from the fans, and you know, I guess my family loves it too. They're great schools, great neighborhoods, lots to do for the kids, you know, and I feel very fortunate.
Yes, a great philosophy somewhere. You talked about when you first came over here, someone told you maybe you're too old to play, and you put up statistically your best season of your career. Do you feel like you're playing the best goalie you've played in your career?
You know, I don't have the body of a 22-year-old guy, but I think I've got a chance to gain a lot of experience, you know, throughout my career, and mentally, you know, I think that's a big part of the game, big part of a goalie also, and I think I've learned a lot, and I've improved on that aspect of my game, and I think that's made me a better goalie, I think.
And Dave Pryor obviously worked a lot with you. Just what do you think you did better this past season than you did in the prior seasons?
I think Dave is a guy that he asked that we challenge a little more. You know, I think he's the same with me or Subs and or Max and then Oscar also. You know, he wants us to challenge to play the shooter straight. You know, and you know, maybe it's something I've kind of forgot a bit. I was playing a little deeper, looking for passes and reading plays. You know, and so I think there's a in between where you're going to be, you know, you don't want to be too far out, but playing the shooter fair and square, and then whatever happens after, just trying to react to it.
Willie Ramirez with the Associated Press. Mark, on that last press conference where you said you'd like to end your career here, from that point, was it pretty much a given that you wanted to get the extension, as you mentioned, but like, did you talk to your wife? Was there conversations? Did you talk to George? Or was it a matter of, let's just get it done, not really worried about hashing things out? Was it a clear cut? Or you hear a lot of players say, well, I want to discuss it with my family and consult with my agent, so on and so forth.
You know, I knew where my wife stand, you know, on Vegas, and that was easy. But for me, like I said, this team gave me a second opportunity to my career, right? And I'll be always grateful for it. And, you know, I love the bunch of guys that we have in the locker room. I love the organization. You know, from our owner, Bill, has been involved and great to us. And George, the coaches, you know, I think the whole thing together just felt right for me to try to finish my career here. You know, I knew George had a lot of his plates, you know, for a few weeks here, and there was no rush, right? I was still on the contract for next season, but like I mentioned before, it's fun to get it done before the season so you don't have it on your mind during the games and stuff.
Sorry, Mark, here. I think Pekka was 35 this year, winning the Vezina. We've seen Waugh, Brodeur, your guys that have played well into their late 30s and things like that. I guess what's the challenge for you to, you know, maintain the level that you showed and things like that as you get a little older here?
Yeah, I think it's maybe manage your body, right? This schedule can get pretty busy at times, and I think it's just I think I've gotten a little better at this, just working, trying to seek help from the training staff, you know, trying to stay loose and getting rest when you can, and the slow things, you know, I can make a difference down the road, I think, to stay sharp and healthy.
Frank Harnish, Vegas Golden Knights, 10 Central, Fox Sports Radio. I remember talking to you at the Armory the day after the expansion draft, and we mentioned that you were going to be the face of the franchise, and you were kind of like not sure that, you know, that wasn't necessarily your role. Do you feel more comfortable in that room now because you are the most beloved player on a team that the city loves, all the players out there in that, and you truly have become the face of this franchise, and everybody's ecstatic about you signing this extension?
I don't know, I just wish I had a prettier face, you know? no, I don't know. I don't see myself as that. You know, I'm part of the team, part of a great team, you know, part of a great bunch of guys, and I'm just one more piece, you know, of the team, and maybe I've been around longer than most guys, and maybe seen a little more hockey, and I'll try to do my best to help them, you know, throughout the season and stuff. And but I don't know. I don't want to be the. Yeah, just part of the team.
Mark, you mentioned Dave helped you a lot with your positioning and cutting off the angles. As you get older, obviously, things slow down. Do you think that's important to moving on? And like Dave said, as you get older, playing positionally sound hockey, and how much do you think Dave has helped you with that?
Yeah. No, I don't think I'm a slow goalie yet. You know, I don't intend to, but you know, we'll see what happens over the years. But I think if I can make that first save, you know, consistently for our team, I have a lot of confidence in, you know, defense that, like they've shown this year, how much it can help me with rebounds or help me with guys around the net. You know, and so I think we'll be just fine.
Mark Grady now, NBC Las Vegas. 8 weeks, 3 days, you guys will be playing your first preseason game, so you'll be back in this building in just 8 weeks. Do you feel like thinking about the season or excited about the next one, or is it still a little too soon? 8 weeks away, it's hard to believe.
I think I'm enjoying a little downtime right now. It's pretty good just to spend some time with the kids and did a little traveling, a little vacation, but it'll be fun though. It's my first day back in the building since, and I'm looking forward to see the guys again and getting back at it.
Captain Jacob on the Fox side, you've been such a pillar in this community, and I've already talked to fans today about how excited they are that you've signed on. What would you like to say to them about how they've impacted your decision to stay here?
Yeah, just thank you. Thank you for the support. You know, I've met a lot of people at the rink, but also around town, you know, and everybody's been so so kind to me and my family, and you know, and they've been so loud at the building, right? Every game it's full, and people are into it, and they're cheering for our team loudly, you know, and makes it a lot of fun to play those games. I think it's the best building to play around the league.
Tom George with Channel 13, the ABC station. I wanted to ask you about this SB nomination. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I didn't see that coming. You know, obviously there's a lot of big names. You know, with Sid, McDavid, and Ovi, I think. Oh, sorry. You know, it's an honor to be part of it too.
Mark, I know it's out of your hands, but how do you feel? How important is it to get, you know, William Karlsson and Nosek and Shane, those guys back in the fold and get them, you know, offside, perhaps for arbitration, or whatever? But just from, I know it's out of your hands, but just from, how important is that?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, we have a great group of guys. You know, we have a great chemistry, and I know the team knows it too, right? And I'm sure it's a matter of time, but I'm sure they'll all be back, and we'll be back at doing our thing pretty soon. Yeah, I am. You know, they're a big part of our team. They've shown a lot of great things this season, and you know, sometimes those takes time. You know, it takes a little longer, but at the end, I'm sure we'll be done.
You obviously have 4 years with this. If you stay on pace, that will put you in some
good company. You've got mail.
You know, guys like Robert, guys like Wong. How much of a goal is it for you to, you know, put your name up there by the time you finish, I guess?
It would be nice, you know, definitely. It's you know, when you win games, I think it's a good thing, right? Like, everybody's happy, your organization's happy, your teammates are happy, the fans are happy, right? So I think to me, winning is the most important thing, you know, and it's, I feel like it's not such a personal stat. So I think it's a team stats also, you know, and winning's good, you know, so hopefully we can climb up there as a team.
Robert Wallace, Fox Sports Radio. Mark, you're here for another 4 years. How important is winning with this group and winning in this city to you?
It is, you know, that's why what we play, that's why I play. You know, I love love winning. It doesn't matter if I've won before, you know, it's, you always want one more. And we came so close this season, and it was frustrating and tough to miss it, you know, by so little, but don't know, I think the first time I went and lost in the finals, I think that made us a better team for the season after. And I'm looking forward to get going again and keep chasing the cup.
Mark, I was asking you, kind of aside from hockey, I saw you at the UFC fights the other night. Did you get out and get a chance to see some of these boxing matches or UFC and some of those things?
A few times and all, but my schedule was pretty busy during the season, so I didn't get to do maybe as much as I would like to. But now I get a chance. I had the chance to see that fight. You know, it was amazing. Just it was my first one to see live, right? And to be able to sit so close to the ring and actually see those guys going at it, it's pretty pretty impressive.
Mark, we've got some Facebook.
It's a flash warning, flash flood warning. Hey, yeah. Yeah, watch out. Should we run or are we good?
This is from Anna Becker on Facebook. Anna asks, what is one thing you look forward to this upcoming season?
Lots, I think. But the first thing is just getting back with my teammates. You know, I think we have such a great group of guys, and yeah, just looking forward to see them again and have some fun in practice, trying to stop him and yell at them a bit, and get back at T-Mobile, try to win some games.
We've got another Facebook question. This is from Steve Novell. Steve asks, we have had an amazing first year, in large part due to your stellar play in net. What do we have to do this year to keep that success going and take that last step towards winning the cup?
Thanks, Steve, for the question. In others, I think we were close, right? It wasn't, there's not much, there's not a big thing you need to do to change things around. I think the parity around the league is so so good and so close that you know, I think it's just staying healthy, everybody having the same motivation at winning games, you know, and just going one game at a time like we did this season. We never thought too far ahead, we always thought just trying to win this one and move on, you know, and that took us you know, great ways.
And there you have it, Marc-Andre Fleury's press conference there. And thanks, Mark, because we actually deleted or postponed a flash flood warning a little bit earlier. So, Mark, passed that along to you there. Remember, if you see standing water, turn around, stay safe, don't drown. But Marc-Andre Fleury there, and maybe one of the comic relief moments of the presser there. The phone goes off. One of the media guys had his phone up there to record it, and he's like, flash flood warning, I haven't seen that. Should we run?
I'm so glad that I use airplane mode. I'm just saying, because that's my phone was right next to the other phone, and for a minute, at least at the beginning of the press conference, I started to freak out thinking that it was me and that we were going to lose all this audio. And then, never mind the shame and embarrassment of being that guy, but, you know, this is what you pay Flower $7 million a season for. It's moments like these where it's obviously, it's the off season, we get it, but like when times are critical and super intense, this is what this guy is like all the time. Stanley Cup final, off-season, first game of the season, doesn't matter. This is Marc-Andre Fleury. This is the greatest snapshot of what his personality is and what we've come to know, respect, and love about the guy.
And that's one of the reasons we wanted to play that for you, too. Part of it to put you inside our world a little bit, to show you what we get to deal with on a day-to-day basis, but also to show you why this guy is so important. It's not just the wins and losses. It's not the goals against. What he means in that locker room, the practical joker he is, that we don't even know all of what goes on there because that's between him and his teammates. That's why his teammates love him. That's why Murray in Pittsburgh literally cried when he was leaving because his best friend and mentor, who also happened to be his competition for goaltender,
right,
was leaving the city. That's why the city cried all over the place with what he does around the community. He is a great ambassador for the team. And is it ironic or is it just poetic justice that on Friday the 13th, the man with the mask signs a 3-year extension?
You know, it's probably Jesse Granger's favorite moment because if we ever wanted to know what Marc-Andre Fleury thinks about superstitions, it's probably this right here, signing the contract extension on Friday the 13th. I don't think he cares about shutouts, but he does want you to say Marc-Andre donuts, not necessarily Marc-Andre shutouts.
Yes, and remember this too, Marc-Andre Fleury, with what he's done and everything else he's doing out there. Just 3 years, looking forward to him being here. What a great ambassador for the city. What a great day for Las Vegas.
So, yeah, it absolutely is. But when you go back and you look at the contracts, we're looking at 3 years, $7 million per. Obviously, the money's going to look different every year, but the average annual value is $7 million. Do you have any reservations about this at all?
I don't, because of everything else he means out there. And I know it is a lot of money, especially for a goaltender and his age and everything else. But this guy means so much more than that. Just like Derek England, whatever they're paying him, I think he's worth it for what he means in the whole. So and you have to lock up that position, because now you have that comfort that, yeah, you know that you have some goalies that might turn into good goalies behind him, but you have the guy, the anchor in place where you need him, the guy who's the leader of this team as much time as he missed last year, and his Jesse Granger mentioned one of those questions at the press conference. Statistically, his best year that he ever had out there. The one thing I hope we get to see in the next 4 years, I hope we see it next season, because we know he wants it. He needs to score that goal that he wants. We know he wants to score a goal.
Yeah, see, when I look at the contract, I don't necessarily have any issue with the first 2 years of it, so the next 3 years. There's always that question in the final year, what's it going to look like? How's he going to be at age 37? The only thing that really kind of brings me back off that ledge is the fact that it's $7 million against the cap then, which may look very different. It may go up exponentially between now and then. So that that $7 million might look more realistically, at percentage-wise, like a $4 or $5 million deal. And that, to me, is fine for Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't want to say surefire Hall of Famer, but should definitely be in consideration, especially if he wins another cup, then it's surefire. I mean, I think it's fine. I think it'll be okay for the duration of the contract.
Surefire Hall of Famer, and if he keeps on winning at the rate that he did this year, even if he doesn't play as many games, you're putting him in the conversation with the elite of the most wins in the history of the NHL, should he stay healthy and keep on winning. And with the team he has behind him, with George McPhee, Gerard Gallant, and everybody else in this organization, there is no reason to expect anything but continued success for the Golden Knights.
To kind of piggyback off of that, I saw a tweet earlier today that if he wins 30 games over averages 30 wins over the next 4 years, he's going to be 27 behind Patrick Waugh. That's great company.
Yeah, and even if it's not 30 games a year, if it's 25, it's still incredible. What he's done is already incredible. He is just adding to the legacy.
Sure.
I just hope that he wins a couple more cups. And the hardest decision he has to make in 4 years, maybe 8 or 10 years, as long as he wants to play, is what sweater do I wear to the Hall of Fame induction?
That's a Golden Knights jersey for sure.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Hey, I mean, his kids will be going to high school by that time, right?
So that's a good point.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Ari Platinum sitting in for us today. When we come back, well, we still have one more round to go, and let's look at maybe some of the other things. What now is on the to-do list for George McPhee and the Vegas Golden Knights? Stick around. We'll wrap it up here on a special Friday edition of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Welcome back. Final go-around here on a Friday. Friday the 13th special version of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Ari Platinum. And it is beautiful because Marc-Andre Fleury signs that 3-year extension. We've got him for the next 4 years. Alex Tuck, the guy that you heard on the rejoin coming back, he's going to be around. Colin Miller, Braden McNabb, a lot of pieces in place. But Ryan?
Yes.
There is still work to be done. We know that Neil and Perron are gone. Lucas Pisa will be gone, but there's still a lot of pieces in place. Of course, I think Stastny's a nice signing as well.
Yep.
They got him for 3 years, which is what they wanted.
Completely agree. Yep.
I think we're in agreement on the number one thing that the Golden Knights still have to focus on. I mean, there's a laundry list of what they need to do, but there is one thing at the top.
Yeah, it's got to be William Karlsson. It has to be. And whether or not George McPhee wants to ink Karlsson to a long-term deal, whether or not Karlsson wants to ink a long-term deal, because you have to assume that if it's a long-term 7-year, 8-year deal, you're looking at probably $6.5 to $7 million per, based on the one really good season of production and then kind of everything else taken into account. However, if you're William Karlsson and you believe in your abilities and you believe that you're not a flash in the pan, which I don't think he is, I don't think the Golden Knights think he is. If you're William Karlsson, do you want to go to arbitration? Do you want to maybe take a little bit less money for 1 or 2 years? Double down on yourself, show that you can score 35 goals consistently in this league, and then drive up that average annual value to somewhere in the ballpark of $9.5 million, maybe even $10 million if you have more seasons like you did last year. Those are all big questions, but regardless, Karlsson needs to be handled next.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think Karlsson is the big piece that they have to put in place,
right?
Then see where other things fall in. One thing that I am also very curious to see when we go into training camp next year and we see the guys on the ice, I'm curious to see where they slot and what they're going to do with Tomas Tatar. Because Tatar is a guy we know is a quality player. They could never find exactly where he fit in. Right. I know I've read some reports on that. They're going to pair him with Stastny, and they think they're going to work very well together. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is a piece that will be there, two veteran guys that do know the game a little bit? Because I do think Tatar is going to be somebody that, in the end, because let's face it, a lot of people say, well, McPhee was GM of the year and everything, but the one mistake they made was Tatar. I'm hoping that within the next 3 years, because he'll be here for three more seasons, that people at the end of this are not still going to be saying that, because I think he's a quality person. I think he is a good hockey player. I just don't think he's found the right place yet. If they find a place for this guy, don't be surprised if you start seeing some Tatar jerseys around the T-Mobile and around town, because he is a good hockey player in the right circumstances.
No, I completely agree with you. Tatar is interesting because I don't necessarily view him as a guy that is quick in on the forecheck. He's not a super big guy, not really that physical, but he can find time and space. And if you pair him up with a guy like Paul Stastny, who can make plays, who can draw coverage and give Tomas Tatar enough time to find some seams and find some angles and find some different things in the offensive zone, it may end up working out very well. It's really hard to jump off the Tomas Tatar bandwagon based on what he had to come into and not really having a place, not really finding a spot. You're asking a guy that's used to playing top 6 minutes to go in on a third line with Cody Eakin as your center. And then most of the time, that didn't really work because there were injuries. He was up, he was down. It really didn't work out for him from a chemistry standpoint. But for a guy that likes to score goals, that likes to shoot, that relies on skill, chemistry is huge, and if they can keep him with one or two guys, that'll be big for him, I think, this year.
We've got another minute or two left. I want to pose one other question to you, because I hear a lot of people talking about the youngsters. And, oh, we're going to see Cody Glass and Nick Suzuki and Nick Hagan. That. Yeah. I don't think we're going to see these guys next year in T-Mobile unless they're in suits again and cheering on the team, because we know that George McPhee doesn't believe in rushing people along.
Sure.
That being said, is there a player that you could think that maybe we will see in a Golden Knights sweater next year that could be an impact player that we maybe already know? A Tomas Hika, a Peary, somebody else out there that, you know, they have in possession right now and could find a place on this team next season.
You know, I mean, I really like Hika, but you look at what they have up front. There's so few spots to really sprinkle in guys and have them there. But for me, I want to see what Tomas Hika brings to the table in camp, because I think his speed is infectious. He gets to the right angles. He's able to score when he's called upon. I like Hika, and I think that this could be a big year for him.
Yeah, and I feel kind of the same way about Brandon Peary. I like him, and I think he's a good player. We saw he got 3 goals in 2 games last year.
Right, yeah.
But unfortunately, as good as he is, there's players right now that are better that fit that role.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, and you've got to find the right spot for these guys to succeed, and that's sometimes half the battle. You know, you got a spot on the fourth line. If it doesn't fit their style, they're not going to succeed.
All right. For Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, for Ari Platinum, I'm Frank Harnish. Thanks for joining us today. TC Martin, the doctor's in next with lots more sports talk for you. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday with the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Unless there's another big deal, who knows? Maybe it'll be Monday or Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas.